here was that this was the beginning of the manifestation of Adam's dominion. His ability to name the animals established who he was and that he was over them, and that he was over them to such a point where God stepped back and said, I'll go with what you say. You know, there are times when you think, Lord, what are you saying? And he so honors us when we live for him and walk in him and move and breathe in him, that there are days when he'll step back and say, well, I want to know what you call it. Because if you call it evil, then I'll call it evil. If it's evil to you, then it hits my heart that way. Just like if something hurts your child and it doesn't hurt you, but hurts your child, then it hurts you because it hurts your child. Understand? Then there are other things that are just intrinsically wrong, intrinsically dark. But it's so important that we understand he's given us a power, a privilege, and a license to name things. It is the beginning. You see, when I name a sin, I'm not talking about in the pulpit. I'm talking about in my life, you know. When I name a sin, when I refuse to smooth it over. But when I say, well, you know, that might be Netflix, that might be Hulu, that might be whatever, and they might say that's a family film, but profanity is profanity. When I name something, when I say, oh, that looks sexually, I mean, that looks impure, that looks provocative, the world says, oh, there's no problem, that's the world, all right? But we come along and we feel grieved by the Holy Ghost, and so we say, you know what, I'm grieved with that. Not trying to be an old-fashioned fogey. I'm not trying to be, God bless the precious Amish. I'm not trying to be Amish. I'm not trying to be ultra-conservative. I just basically want to be godly. All right, and so I'm saying that that is wrong. I remember so many times when we used to go rent films up at the Appleton, Wisconsin library. We'd be in the middle of a story, and then all of a sudden there was some crazy language or a scene, and we just shut down the whole thing. We just shut it all down. Amber was there. She could testify. She'd step out of the balconies of heaven. She could tell you. Mom could tell you also. We just shut it down because we called it what we saw it to be. You see, when we have the boldness to name things what they really are and to call them that, we establish the first step of dominance over them. You're never going to get victory over pornography until you say, that's what it is. That's pornography. That's unclean. I don't want that. Again, I'm not trying to be ultra conservative. I'm just trying to be basically godly. When you permit it, when you permit things or excuse things or sugarcoat them or soft soap them and don't call them what they are, then you're missing the first step of dominion over them. Woo! That might be the most profound thing I say this whole morning. Can you see that? Now, my wife, so cool, was telling me this story. Woo, she said there were some kids. She was driving up. It was near Giant there on Stringtown on a corner. Giant and, yeah. And these kids were, she wasn't sure what they were excited about. They were jumping up and down and really happy. And the guy with the sign, the key guy was the guy with the sign. He was jumping up and down, but she said he had his sign turned inward. He had the bear part of it showing outward. So she couldn't figure out what he was excited about because he had the sign inverted. He was jumping up and down like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And he's got the sign, right, and it's pointed to him. Maybe that's why the Bible talks about signs and wonders. Praise God. It's a wonder when you take the sign of who you are and what you believe and you turn it inwardly and you don't show the world what you are. You don't want them to know you're a one God, tongue-talking, denture-dropping, rust-removing, chandelier-shaking, carpet-cleaning, apostolic. Don't hide who you are. Don't hide his name. Don't hide your passion. Come on, lift your hands. Give us boldness. Let's lift our voices right now. Give me godly boldness. Give me holy boldness. You gave me the power of naming. And sometimes in our excitement, we're afraid. Hallelujah. In our excitement, we cover up the signs. The sign, the message. When he said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, I love this verse. Woo! If we confess, if we say, if you studied that in the Greek, it means to say the same thing as. If God calls it sin, and then when I come along and instead of saying, well, he called it sin, but you know, the Bible was written long time ago, you know, hundreds of years ago, so it might not be sin today. No, God doesn't suffer from the hardening of hearts. God is not schizophrenic. God's favorite color is not plaid. If we confess our sins, if we say about them what he says about them, confess to say the same thing as. If I say about it what he says about it, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I call it what it is, when I call it what he calls it, when I name it what he names it, there's a power, there's a deliverance, there's a dominion, there's a victory released unto me when I exercise the power to name. Let's use this right now. I just coughed into my arm. You're safe. You're safe. But I have to get this dry cleaned. Okay, you're safe. If I said to Sister Holly, you're a real estate agent, I'm giving her some sound bites. We're going to stir up some more business for her. But I said, what's the name of your company? And she said, and she wouldn't, because you know, she's dynamic and forthright. If she hemmed and hawed around and didn't want to say the name, or she forgot the name, or never happened, right? But if she did, you'd say, oh, okay, well, keep on. Hope you do well. Hope you do well. But if you can't name the company, if you can't name, see, who you working for? Let him that nameth in the name of Christ, 2 Timothy 2:19. Let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The power to name. Who are you? What are you? Whom do you serve? Praise God. We're living in a generation that is afraid to name things. And I don't mean, again, please know my heart. I'm not talking about being judgmental. I don't want one judgmental bone in my body. I want to give people grace, throw out goodness and grace. But in the process of doing that, if we're not careful, we will gloss over things that God does not want us to water down. Come on now, you understand what I'm saying? In our desire to be courteous, in our desire to be diplomatic, if we're not careful, we're afraid as parents to name some things that they need clear direction and clear discernment. And when we don't call things what they are, it confuses them and they'll never get victory in that department until they have leadership in their lives that's not afraid to call it what it is. Lift your hands and give me a witness. Woo, when I confess, when I say the same thing about my sin as he does, then he releases me from it and gives me forgiveness. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. My job is to help get you to heaven. My job is to help get us to heaven. I can't pull punches. I can't stand up here and wring my hands and apologize for truth. I refuse to apologize for truth, for strong doctrine. You must be born again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3:5. You must be born of water. What a baptism. And of the Spirit. Spirit baptism. To be ready for heaven and walk in that. And celebrate that. And apologize to nobody. You know one of the reasons why? Hey, listen, I lived in Portland 3 years. You want to know one reason why they're having so much trouble? They don't have a mayor that has the ability or the backbone to call violence for what it is. Mob, violence, riot. It's not just peaceful protesting when they're burning down businesses. They're not naming something what it is, and it confuses a city. We need some mayors to rise up, some governors and some senators to rise up and call things what they are. Oh, I wish somebody would jump up and dance. I wish somebody would jump up and dance. Wow! That's my Cherokee. I lived there 3 years. One of the most peaceful towns I've ever lived in. In those days, it was famous to be and famously known as the City of Roses. But now, it's more famous for Antifa. When they beat up that photographer, several months ago, and put him in the hospital because he was filming them. I called the pastor. He's from here. Brother Myers' son, JR. I called him and I said, if I were you, I would get down to the hospital and pray for that young man and pray over him, because he was conservative and he was a representative of conservative writing. And they hit him with a milkshake-like cup that was full of cement. They broke him up. They basically beat him. For no reason except that he represented a conservative voice and they didn't want to hear a conservative voice. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my country too. This is your country too. And if we are silent now, there needs to be a clear voice, not only in our pulpits. There needs to be a clear voice in our families. There needs to be a clear voice in the streets of our cities. Don't be afraid to use the power of naming, of calling it what it is, without fear or favor. I lived there 3 years, numerous times, been to Seattle. I've sat in the Space Needle and had a meal as it turned each hour, 360 degrees that you saw. Different parts of Puget Sound and so on. As you sat there having your meal, I didn't realize that the Space Needle was constantly moving. Beautiful town. A beautiful town. But isn't it interesting that all of these mayors in towns like Portland and Chicago and New York and Seattle, all of them are of the same political persuasion. And when they had, and I'm telling you what, Jesus loves us all. You can be anything and come here. That's great. That's fine. I'm just saying, what's wrong with the Democrats that they can't raise up leadership that aren't afraid to say what needs to be said? And so since they don't do that, they don't have dominion over that. They're not providing strong leadership and they have havoc. Their cities are being ransacked. And this is my country too. And this is your country. And we need some people to stand tall and say, let's call things what they are. That's not a peaceful protest. That's a riot. Oh, I wish somebody would get excited. Come on now. Come on. Don't let it happen in your house. Don't let it happen in your life where you gloss over something that is extremely, amen, extremely, extraordinarily wrong and ungodly, and you gloss it over, because just as cities will crumble, your spiritual life will crumble when you fail to name something what he calls it. Woo! Is it all right to preach like this? I mean it with a great heart of grace. Hallelujah. So I listened to pretty good sized pieces of the Democratic National Convention or the Democrat National Convention. Nowhere. Nowhere. In nothing. No speaker. Nobody condemned. I'm glad we have freedom of speech. I'm glad we have the right to bear arms. I thank God for these first two amendments. It's a beautiful thing. But nowhere in their convention, it was such a faux pas, French for major mistake. All right? It was such a major blunder not to call it out at their national convention. Finally, Joe Biden, and there's things about him I'm going to tell you that I like, but finally he nailed it. After way past the convention, they missed an opportunity to condemn. I'm not against protesters being peaceful. That's our right as Americans. We can say something, but much of it turns into mobocracy, not theocracy, not democracy, mobocracy, control by mobs. When you can't leave the last night of the Republican National Convention and walk to your hotel without being accosted by people that want to kill you. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you. Come on, you've got more to you than I see right now. There's more backbone. You know why those lions couldn't eat Daniel? Somebody said it this way. He had an unusually excellent spirit in him. But the Bible says because there was an excellent spirit, some kid was reading it and misread it, and he read it like this: because there was an excellent spine in him. They couldn't eat him because there was an excellent spine in Daniel. Praise God. I'm not going to roll over and play dead, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to act like we're in the midst of a twindemic. We are. And I'm going to tell you what, it ought to galvanize us. It ought to charge us. It ought to build, you know, something of passion and fire. This is not what I'm saying today, not meant to be judgmental at all. I'm saying, though, why aren't people standing up and calling what it is? Call it what it is. It's not right to burn businesses down. Many of those owned by black entrepreneurs. It's not right to burn businesses down. It's not right to take the police precinct and put it on fire. It's not right to beat people up and accost people. You have a right to speak out, and that's wonderful. We're Americans here, but we're not mobsters. Now, in some places, if I preached like this, they'd already be dancing in the aisles. So I'll give you a chance. Are you an American? Are you a flag-carrying American? And by the way, I love standing up and putting my hand over my heart. Hallelujah. When they're saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm going to leave under God. I'm going to leave under God in there too, by the way. Under God. Oh, praise God. We are what we are. We have what we have because we live in a country where we can worship God. In our cars, we can praise God at Walmart. We can go to church and have revival because somebody is not afraid to articulate the specific things that are right and the specific things that are wrong. We have clear voices. We have strong leadership. We have nothing to apologize about and everything to celebrate in God. Oh, he said, Adam, whoo, you tell me what that is right there. Well, God, and I'd say that's a rhino. And not only that, God, but there's something about him that looks a little dangerous. But God probably said, back him up and give him a little space. Sir, hello, Mr. Rhino. Nice, Mr. Rhino. Rhino's a nice word. I gave you a good name. Respectfully, you're dismissed. Thank you. What does that look to you? That looks like a fox. I got foxes down near where I live. When I see one at night when I'm out praying early in the morning, I'll try to pull over and get my flashlight out. Hello, Mr. Fox. I love all wildlife. Praise God. That's why I love young people. I love all wildlife. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm teasing. Listen to this from Isaiah. I'm sorry. Isaiah 5 verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The prophet said, woe unto them. Now, the Amplified reads like this. Woe. Judgment is coming to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What is he saying? Oh, man of God, oh, prophet of God, have the gall, have the backbone, have the stamina, have the endurance, whatever it takes, the anointing, the unction, the boldness to call something what it is. If it's bitter, call it bitter. If it's evil, call it evil. If it's darkness, call it darkness. Don't call something that's dark, light. Don't call something that's unholy, righteousness. Call it by what it really is. I give you the power to call things out, to name things. You know, when we were kids, the power of naming was used against us. Anybody ever experienced that? They called you. If you weren't just like them, or you were new to the school. I have a family member. They one of the most unusual people that I know. And they called him in grade school, they called him Mr. Magoo. And see, they took a power and they prostituted it. Because God put in all of us the power to articulate and to name. And they took it and they made it a force for evil. And they wanted to make us feel like we couldn't become anything unusual. See, what they were doing, the enemy was using them, because the enemy doesn't want you to know how special you are. The enemy doesn't want you to have a dream from the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Sister Amber. I couldn't have done it better the way that you said this. You were speaking to these kids and telling them you're a leader. I see a leader in you. You were saying it. You were naming it. You're not just anybody. I see leadership in you. You were prophesying over them. You were casting a vision. You were casting a vision. Woo, I love that. We're jumping up and down on the corner. We just got the sign turned toward us. And she couldn't figure out, well, do you ever watch her worship? Dude, if I didn't say my prayers, she'd scare the pudding out of me. She gets that Comanche anointing on her. Her feet are moving. Her hands are moving. I'm so glad she loves me. I'm so glad she likes me. I'm so glad she's on my team. It'd be scary to have her on the opposite team. She's something. She's a passionate warrior. And when it comes time to worship, she's not expecting this praise team to do all the worshiping. You hear that? Sister Chas, stand up and lift your hands. Would you, precious Sister Chas, a fresh anointing on this young lady, a fresh anointing. Put your hands toward her. What an amazing heart she has. Love this kid. Oh my, in Jesus' name, she's going to help us in the Sunday school, and there's going to be a new anointing on her. Oh, praise God. There's going to be fire dancing in her bones. There's going to be a fresh unction. Bless her, Lord. Thank you, God. Touch her family. Touch Gabriel, God, that amazing man she's married to. Bless Sister Chas, Lord. God, she's got a passion for young people. God, bless her and quicken her, I pray. And let the fire of God dance, hallelujah, in her heart. It's a beautiful thing. Wonderful, God. I felt something there, Sister Chas. I don't know if you did, but I felt something in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Thank you for being willing to help us. Thank you. Thank you. I know it's work. Our young people are worth it, are they not? Are they worth it? They're worth it. Praise God. They're worth fighting for. They need to hear a clear sound. They need to hear clear voices. They need to hear loving voices. But voices that are not afraid to preach doctrine, preach the new truth, preach holiness, preach the soon coming of Jesus, preach beautiful and powerful truths. And let me tell you a little something that I feel like he spoke to me today, Sister Amber. I ran it by her. She runs stuff by me. I said, I got to tell you what I think the Lord said to me this morning. And then she reminded me that I told her that would not let me off the hook. And I said, well, it was something like this. In the Sunday school, and we were anticipating this graduation. But in the Sunday school, something along this line. In the Sunday school, don't be afraid to teach fresh revelation. Not just standard things we get from St. Louis. And that's all good, too. That's not bad. That's good stuff. I'm just saying, he's shown some of us some things that might not be in those books. Like spiritual warfare. Like spiritual warfare. Don't be afraid to teach revelation in our Sunday school. He's given us a revelation on prayer. How many of you know we have a revelation on prayer here? We have a revelation on worship here. We put it in our church name. We have a revelation on worship here. Don't be afraid to teach those in the Sunday school until, you know what has to happen? Until our kids feel it and see it as a revelation, they might not get it. We're dancing on the corner. We just have the signs turned inverted toward us and not outward so everybody can read them. I'm told this, that in ancient Greece, and I have been in modern Greece. I've been to the Parthenon. I still got stories I've never told you guys. I've walked in the streets of Greece. I walked where the Apostle Paul walked in Corinth in Greece. But in ancient Greece, they begin to come up with soft names for sins. Like an adulterer might not be called that in ancient Greece. They'd be called a companion. See? See, we used to have strong terms for what was wrong. We would say, and I know this is strong, so please hang in there with me, because I heard this as a teenager. Well, they're shacking up. And I know that's strong language, but that's what I heard. But now it's, oh, they're living together. See, the deal is we come up with soft terms. And then after a while, nobody knows quite, well, what is right and what is wrong? Because we've not taken the power of naming and walked in it in a loving way. I'm talking about a loving way, a gracious way. Anybody see the video clip on Lou Holtz the other day? What a coach. What an amazing guy. He's a fiery guy. And they got to interviewing him. And you know, amazing football coach. And he is passionate. And he basically, gently, lovingly rebuked Joe Biden because he knows that Joe Biden claims, and he will tell you, I'm a practicing Catholic, but Catholics are against abortion. So what is Joe Biden doing in a political party that isn't? And so when they asked him, this is what I loved about it. Lou Holtz he's an amazing guy. But he tried to make it very clear. Oh, there are many things about him that I like. I'm not trying to be judgmental. You see, if we can walk in our holiness and not be judgmental toward anybody, that's the deal. Carry righteousness carefully, gently. Oh, praise God. And not use it as a route of cynicism or criticism. But he spent half his interview at least explaining how he likes Joe Biden. He's not trying to rebuke him, but he said, I had some teachers at Notre Dame. And he started naming his teachers that had taught Mr. Lou Holtz that abortion, killing babies, was wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, God isn't going to rewrite his book. He isn't going to rewrite his word. He said it in such a gracious way. It didn't bother me. It didn't offend me. He was trying to say, I like Joe Biden. I'm not faulting him for all. I'm just saying he's a practicing Catholic. He brags about that. He didn't say that. I've heard Joe brag about that. I'm a practicing Catholic. Been that for many years. If you are, your faith teaches you that abortion is wrong. It's wrong. It's darkness. It's sinful. So why are you representing a political movement that throws babies away? That's what Lou was saying. That's where he said, I had teachers. Oh, man. Listen, we got Sister Peggy sitting here. Praise God. mentored by James Kilgore. I came up under men like that, Cleveland Becton, Billy Cole. I had teachers and preachers. Brother Yaden, my college president, a one God Jesus name man that had been a cow puncher. And when I've sat under teachers. Lou Holtz was saying this. I've sat under some teachers, and he named about five of them. And he said, they taught me that abortion is wrong. So I said, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to mess over Joe or anything. He was just so gracious about it. And that's what we need to do in our faith. Articulate it, not condemn. For the Son of God came not into the world to condemn men, but that the world through him might believe. Oh, praise God. He came to bring light. Amen. He came to bring light, not to condemn the dark, but to bring light. But he gives us the power and the calling and the ability to name some things. And when you say to your child, I love you, but that's wrong. To the young people, can I say, thank God you got a parent like that. Thank God you've got a parent like that. When you say to your child, you know I love you. You know I thank God for you. You've helped me. And many are here that would say, my child helped me get back to God. My child helps me live for God. And we recognize that and we celebrate them. And while we do that, we say, but in this instance, I can't defend you. Because to do so would violate a principle. I have to name what he names. What do you call this? God could have said, okay, here's a list. Come on. Here's a list. Here you go. Okay. That's a German Shepherd right there. You any other questions? God steps back and is like, he's okay now. I have so much confidence in you, and I want you to have victory over all wildlife and dominion. So you tell me what you call them, and when you tell me what you're going to call them, I will call them by the same name that you do. Why is that written there for us, ladies and gentlemen? Because God wants us to see the spiritual aspects of that. Lift your hands and ask God for discernment with me right now. Would you? We're almost done. In Jesus' name, as that comes, praise God. Thank you for people, Lord. Thank you for people, Lord, in our lives that are not afraid to call things, to name when needed, to call things righteous that are, to call things that are ungodly, ungodly, to call your name precious and necessary in the waters of baptism. What if we soft-soaped that? We say specifically, like they did in the days of the apostles, we must be baptized in the name of Jesus. The blood flows through his name. Sister Amber, we need this in our Sunday school ministry. We need kids who are not in a quandary. We need kids who are not confused, but have discernment, and they have precision, and they have specificity to know specifically things that God wants them to walk in. Oh, praise God. How many of you, did you see any of the last night of the RNC? Did you hear Alice Johnson? Anybody, the precious black lady that the president gave a pardon to. Anybody here listen to her? I sent out a text mail and tried to tell some of you, tried to get, jump into this and listen, because this is our country. Okay. Please today, go back and listen to some of the people. She's one of them. Precious black lady was incarcerated for 21 years. How many of you know that's a long time? And you could say also, well, 21 years, my life is probably pretty well washed up. Guess what, Nancy? In prison, she became a playwright. What's a playwright? Somebody who writes plays. Isn't that heavy duty? Somebody who writes plays. She became a playwright in prison. She became a mentor in prison. She became a certified hospice volunteer in prison. Why are you making a big deal about this? Because it blew my mind. Some of us think, well, we're in the midst of COVID. We can't do nothing extraordinary. Really? That's in your brain. That's that deep, 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 dark stuff between your left ear and your right ear that's lying to you. And I'm here to call you out and tell you he's called you to be exceptional. He's put some dreams in you. He's put a vision in you. And you must not let the world or the enemy rip that out of you. I'm telling you, Sister Amber was vision casting up here. I felt it. I saw it. It did me proud. It blessed my heart. She was vision casting. I believe these girls are going to become leaders as they grow. She was naming that. Oh, praise God. So in prison, she became, Alice Johnson became an ordained minister in prison. She would get on Skype and be a speaker at Hunter College and Yale and other places from her prison. If somebody could do all of that from their prison, what could you do from where you are? That's why I'm going to call the young people up right now. Because God's put a dream in them, and they are precious, everyone. Oh, these gals and guys, they're something very, very special. Praise God. In Jesus' name, why don't you, just come and just, these are extraordinary young people. Human beings, ladies and gentlemen. But I've seen God move on every one of them. I've seen God move. When they run down here and dance and worship, I'll tell you what, just like I get born again. It's like, if I leave here and I'm laughing and I can't hardly talk plain, it's because I saw my young people worshiping and praising the Lord. He's got a dream for them. Come on, mom and dad, articulate a dream. What do you see your child? Come, if you're a mom or dad or a grandpa or a grandma, come and stand behind them. Praise God. Come right now in Jesus' name. I'm not done talking about Alice Johnson because she's become even more than everything I've named. She did these things when she was still incarcerated with thugs and murderers and child molesters. That's the community she's in. And yet in the midst of all of that craziness, she made up her mind. I'm not into the Kardashian family, all right? I'm not into Hollywood, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Hollywood. But Kim Kardashian went to war for Alice Johnson. The president's son went to war for Alice Johnson. She began to accrue a mighty army of people that were her advocates. God is doing that for you, young people. You've got your amazing parents and grandparents that are advocates for you. Raise your hands, if you would, with me. Praise God.